دكتور داوجي السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. How are you حبيبي؟
الحمد لله، كيف حالك؟
الحمد لله كله تمام. And you know what مولانا, it's a lovely day in Durban. And you know, fried fish will go nicely with today's dal gos, or as you Joe Burgers misnamed it, dal chawal. So I got my spear gun ready and my flippers and all of that.
You know, my wife told me the other day that even if there's a tsunami that hits Durban, Abhi Dawji will say, it's a lovely day in Durban. Sorry that
you
got
know
you
what's the definition of a pessimist? Or the definition of an optimist is a pessimist who doesn't have all the available facts.
Story that caught your eye this week.
My dear Maulana, I am no expert on the subject of Islam, but I have heard all kinds of arguments about one particular issue, and it's quite a contentious issue. A husband can beat his wife if she misbehaves. Now, I have heard the full range of explanations, starting from one extreme that says, yes, you are allowed to whack her a good couple of clubs, or even worse. And on the other end of the spectrum, it says that no, you cannot beat her in the usual violent sense of the word. What you should do is that you should take a miswak and give her just a very gentle tap, just a slight touch to indicate that you are not happy with her. So it's just sort of a symbolic gesture, just a sign of displeasure, no beating. And so we have these types of interpretations. And I have never asked the question, you know, Maulana, I never asked the question, what if the man misbehaves? If he's a real rubbish, a washout who ill-treats her, can't she use the miswak to give him a signal? I have never explored that question. In case a fatwa emerges, and then I'll get an occasional twack on my head from my Ruksana. Ah, shame, man. She's not like that. And anyway, I'm an absolute angel. But there are some who are really abusive to their wives. I mean, assaulting them black and blue, sometimes even breaking bones, very, very, very bad indeed. Domestic violence. Well, the good news is that one man has found a solution, Maulana.
Mm-hmm.
His name is Gopal Bhargava. Gopal Bhargava. He is the state minister of Madhya Pradesh in India. Last Saturday, at a mass wedding organized by his government, mass wedding in the 700 couples, he gave to each of the 700 brides a special present. It was a wooden bat that is used to beat generally it's used to beat the dirt out of clothes during washing at Dobie's place, at the laundry. It looks like a small cricket bat. The bats were not given to the brides to be used when washing clothes. They were to be used to give the husbands who misbehave a lucker whacking. Let me read from an article. Gopal Bhargava told the women, first, they should try to talk things out with their husbands, but the bat can be used if that tactic doesn't work, as was reported on the BBC. And these bats, these paddles, locally known as mogri, even came with the words written on them, for beating drunkards. And another one had the words, police won't intervene. And Gopal says that he is trying to raise awareness of domestic abuse that can plague women in rural areas. Women say whenever their husbands get drunk, they become violent. Their savings are taken away and splurged on liquor. He told the brides that they could use the bats against other drunk family members. It was reported in the Hindustan Times. He ordered almost 10,000 more bats to give away to newlyweds in the future. Well, I just had a brilliant idea, mm-hmm. Brilliant business idea. Maybe you can join me. Let's import a few hundred of these batteries, mogris, and sell them to Boardman's and Mr. Price Home, and ask, engage couples to put it on the gift registry. So if the hubby comes home very late playing cards with the guys, the fro can take out a bat and hit him for 6. Give him like a chutney. Okay, now to the second story. It's about Ramadan, the glorious month, a day, a month of great spirituality, piety, family togetherness, and of course everyone gets together at the masjid to share the iftar meal. What a wonderful atmosphere. And you know what, Maulana, in London there's going to be a huge get-together for iftar. Let me read to you from a Muslim website called Five Pillars, which is based in the UK. Here is what it says. And the headline says, London LGBT Festival to hold a big gay iftar this Ramadan. Now, first, let me give some background information. LGBT is lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. And the other thing is that Pride in London is an annual LGBT Pride Festival and parade held each summer in London, the capital of the United Kingdom. Pride in London says the event will bring together the Muslim and LGBT plus communities to open. I don't know what the plus means. Maybe they're going to add something extra to LGBT, some new kind of offshoot. So Pride in London says the event will bring together the Muslim and LGBT plus communities to open a fast together during Ramadan. The event will be held in St. Andrew's Church, Southwark, on Saturday, June 24th. Pride in London said, it's time to bring together the Muslim and LGBT plus communities to do something very important, open a fast together during Ramadan, otherwise known as iftar. The intention is to get back to basics and talk to one another, learn about each other's faiths, cultures, and sexualities, and spread some love that is so sorely needed in the world. Dates and food will be provided at Maghrib, and it promises to be a thought-provoking and community-building evening. The event is open to everyone regardless of background or sexuality. All proceeds will be donated to Pride in London and Iman. Wow, that's the name of an organization, Iman. The event comes after Mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, who is both a Muslim and a strong LGBT ally, made history by leading the Pride Parade last year. Speaking about the festival, Mr. Khan said, London's LGBT plus community is one of the largest in the world, and I was proud to lead last year's Pride March and to be mayor of a city that doesn't just tolerate diversity, but truly embraces and celebrates it. This year's Pride in London program reflects the full spectrum of the capital's LGBT plus community, and I urge all Londoners to immerse themselves in the festivities, proudly wave the rainbow flag, and make this year's Pride in London the biggest and most colorful yet. And the article ends by saying homosexuality is considered a major sin in Islam, and the promotion of it is strictly prohibited. There is no difference of opinion on this issue by reputable scholars of any Islamic sect. Right. So, there you are.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, no comment from me whatsoever, but a good story to tell the belly over Dalgos today, hey?
Al-Jawal. Okay, so Hamas has a new charter.
Right, Maulana, so let's unpack this announcement by Hamas that it has launched this new charter. And so let's try to answer a series of questions. The first one, why did Hamas feel it necessary to change the charter now? Let me first say this, Maulana. We have to be brutally honest in our analysis of issues and events. We need to speak the truth, no matter how unpalatable or painful. So what has been the situation in Gaza, or has been in Gaza itself? And what role has Hamas played in the lives of the long-suffering Palestinians since Hamas took over Gaza in June 2007? Now, the fact is things are very, very, very bad in Gaza. In fact, a UN report indicates that Gaza is fast heading towards being unlivable. Hamas has not been able to do anything to alleviate the suffering of the people. Secondly, Hamas has not been able to do anything by way of resistance against Israel. Israel is far too superior militarily. It has a formidable army and immense air power, jets and helicopter gunships and so on. So Hamas cannot fight Israel, really. Yes, of course, it effectively rebuffed the December 2008 CAS-led attack, that is the ground attack. Israel tried to invade Gaza with its troops, but Hamas fought very strongly and stopped the troops. But the air attacks were devastating, as we all know, and of course, you can do nothing with planes dropping bombs and jets firing missiles. But before and after the war, this Gaza attack, Hamas did not carry out any attacks against Israel. In short, there was no armed resistance. And thirdly, Hamas was almost totally ignored by the international community. And one of the main reasons for this was the charter. That's the policy document. I'm talking about the old one, was written in 1988 by one man, and it had things in there that even a great supporter of Hamas, the scholar Azam Tamimi, regarded as unacceptable. And of course the international community also found that these clauses in that charter to be completely unacceptable. So just to sum up, Hamas was stuck in the Gaza prison, it could do nothing, and the international community wanted nothing to do with Hamas. What to do to break this logjam? And so Hamas had to change its charter so that in doing so, it may win friends and influence people. That was the aim. So, what was changed? Firstly, what was troublesome was the language of the old charter. It was seen to be anti-Semitic. That means anti-Jew. Also, the words that Palestine is an Islamic waqf were removed. And the reference to the extracts from the protocols of the elders of Zion were also removed. So basically, the previous language that this was a fight between Jews and Muslims was deleted and replaced with the words, the Palestinian cause, in its essence, is the cause of an occupied land and displaced people. Now, so they changed the whole thing to say that they are against the Zionist project, not against the Jews themselves. So this is good. In fact, the actual words, it says here, Hamas affirms that its conflict is with the Zionist project, not with the Jews because of their religion. Hamas does not wage a struggle against Jews because they are Jewish, but wages a struggle against the Zionists who occupy Palestine. That's in the new charter. In other words, the reference to Jews has been removed. So that's a positive change. Point number two, Hamas always said that it was part of the Muslim Brotherhood. This was in its old charter. Of course, the Muslim Brotherhood is a transnational movement across many Arab countries, and it's over 80 years old. But many countries have declared the Muslim Brotherhood to be a terrorist organization, including, of course, Egypt and Saudi Arabia. So in the new charter, Hamas says it's not part of the Muslim Brotherhood. It's not part of the... And if Egypt accepts that, that means it's not part of the Brotherhood, then the hope is that it may open the Rafah border between Gaza and Egypt. And also the international community may also look favorably on Hamas for ditching the Muslim Brotherhood link. Point number three, Maulana. Hamas has agreed to accept a Palestinian state on the land that Israel occupied in the Six-Day War in 1967 when it captured the Gaza, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem, where, of course, Al-Aqsa is located. In short, Hamas says that Israel must get back to the 1967 border. So, in essence, it accepts a two-state solution. And this is the important part. It says that it will be part of the national consensus. By this, it means that it will join with Mahmoud Abbas's PLO, and let the PLO negotiate with Israel. The PLO, or as it is known now, the Palestinian Authority, is accepted by the international community. So by plugging into the Palestinian Authority, Hamas hopes that its own image in the world will improve. Now, the bottom line to all these points I mentioned is that Hamas wants to break the logjam. It wants to get out of the Well, the donga in which it has been stuck since 2008. And that is how I view it. And of course, no disrespect to Hamas. And of course, you can have your own views in contrast to mine. So the next question, can Hamas and Fatah be united in dealing with Israel? And the answer is no. Why? Because two parties uniting must have one common policy. Both must be on the same page, one platform. You get it? You can't have two persons in the driver's seat, each turning the steering wheel in a different direction. Let me explain. The PA recognizes Israel. Hamas does not. The PA is happy with a Palestinian state on the West Bank, Gaza, and East Jerusalem as its capital, and it will let Israel exist as it does. In other words, Israel must continue. Hamas will also accept a Palestinian state, but that will only be a temporary arrangement. It will seek to liberate the whole of Palestine. It's in its charter, meaning that Israel must eventually be conquered. Hamas believes that all 6 million Palestinian refugees must be allowed to return to their homes from which they were chased out or fled from, both in 1948 when Israel was created and 1967 when Israel captured the West Bank and Gaza. The Palestinian Authority has given tacit approval to the return of just around 100,000 refugees only, and they can return to the West Bank and Gaza, and not into Israel itself. The PA is committed to the Oslo Accords and all other agreements signed with Israel. Hamas rejects all these agreements and describes them... Sorry, Maulana. Hamas rejects all these agreements and describes them as traps to weaken the Palestinians. The Palestinian Authority of Arafat agreed to give up the armed struggle when it signed as the PLO, the Oslo Accords with Israel in 1993. Hamas has stated that it will not give up the armed struggle and it will respond in defense of its people if and when required to do so. So the bottom line, Maulana, is this. You have two policies. Hamas will allow the PLO, because of what it believes national consensus, to negotiate with Israel. Which of the two policies will Mahmoud Abbas put on the table when he is negotiating with Israel? So, yes, Hamas may now be welcomed by some countries for changing its charter, and inshallah Egypt may open the Rafah and thereby ease the siege. Yet, it's important to know how Israel will respond to this new charter. And the answer is that Israel sees this whole move by Hamas to change its charter as a big lie, a bluff to dupe the world. It has rejected it in the strongest terms. I've read it already the very same day in both the Haaretz newspaper and the Jerusalem Post. The starting point is this, and I said this repeatedly, Israel has never been serious about giving the Palestinians a viable independent state of their own. In other words, it was never really serious about the two-state solution. It was a two-state illusion, in my view, or maybe even worse, a two-state delusion. It had to choose between a settlement or settlements, meaning have a peace settlement deal or continue settlement building in the land where the Palestinian state was to be established. So, take this. Take the a bold proposal which was put to Israel, known as the Arab Peace Initiative, drafted by the Saudis and published on March 28, 2002. It said that if Israel gave the Palestinians an independent state within the 1967 border, then all 50 or so Muslim countries will recognize Israel and the struggle will be over. Israel never accepted this deal. And what Hamas is offering now was also offered in April 2008. Hamas said that it would give Israel a hudna, which is a long-term truce, about 20 years, if Israel withdrew to the 67 line. And of course, Israel rejected this offer. So as I said, Israel was never interested in the two-state solution. But of course, it cannot say this. It can't come out openly and say, we are not interested in the two-state solution. it has a ready-made excuse to blame the other side. It says, see, how can we do a deal with Hamas when it says it will accept a Palestinian state now, but will eventually destroy Israel? And you see, it won't give up. Hamas won't give up violence. It says so in its charter. And see, again, it refuses to recognize Israel. So, dear world, how can we talk to such a terrorist group? And the world, of course, will listen, and Hamas will get little or no credit for its new charter. So, what should Hamas do? Well, for one thing, it came on board to accept a two-state solution quite late, after 24 years, when all, it came at the point when all accounts, when all commentators say that the two-state solution died a long time ago, finished. So what's the point of riding, coming with your riding boots when the horse died a long time ago? So what can Hamas do so that everyone can relate to its plan and vision and therefore will support it? I'm talking about the whole world. What can it do? The new charter, as I said, has many contradictions and many will reject it. So let's put together another charter now. Another charter that good people around the world, decent people of morals and who believe in human rights and justice will be attracted to. So, okay, Maulana, here is A.B. Dawji's charter for Hamas. And this is what the preamble will say. Given that the Palestinian people have sought peace with Israel by signing the Oslo Accords in 1993, which promised them an independent state of their own, and given that the land for this proposed state has been systematically confiscated by Israel over the past 24 years, the Palestinian people declare the agreement to be null and void because Israel has acted in bad faith. Hence, we hereby declare that the only just solution to this the centuries-old conflict is that the whole area known as historic Palestine, encompassing what is Israel, the West Bank, and Gaza, be combined into a single entity, a unitary state. All who reside within its borders, regardless of race or color or creed or religious affiliation, should have equal rights within this new state, in accordance with the words of Nelson Mandela, that the country belongs to all who live within it. The previous concept of two states for two people should be replaced with one state for two people. This, we submit, is the only just solution to a conflict that has raged for far too long. So, dear listeners, what do you think of this policy declaration, this new Hamas charter? Well, the one revealed a few days ago had no chance of getting off the ground at all. With my one, at least no one can argue with the idea that all persons should be treated equally, one man, one vote in one country. Actually, you know what? More and more people are saying that the two-state idea is dead and that the eventual outcome is one state. So by adopting my charter, Hamas will be ahead of the game and will be viewed as holding the moral high ground. Not so complicated to understand, is it? Thank you for agreeing. And now, will someone please give Hamas a call and tell them what I just told you?
So, Mahmoud Abbas goes to meet Trump.
Mahmoud Abbas met, some time ago he met Obama at the White House and pleaded with him to get the Israelis to give the Palestinians their state. You know, Obama understood the issue 100%. Way back he understood it when he was still practicing law. Check on the internet and you'll see a photograph with Obama with the renowned Palestinian-American Rashid Khalidi, a professor of modern Arab studies at Columbia University. The photograph is of a gala dinner addressed by the internationally recognized Palestinian commentator, Professor Edward Said. It's right there on the internet. So Obama knew the issues, the Palestinian issues in depth, and in his last years in office, he tried hard to resolve it, even having a serious fallout with Netanyahu. But of course, we all know it failed. And now Abbas went to plead with Donald Trump. Dear listeners, Donald Trump, this mamfada understands nothing about anything. He's just faking it like a big president. When he met Netanyahu a few months ago at the White House, he said something quite silly. Hey, I support one state or two states, whatever. And he told Abbas now, hey, don't worry, Mamu, I'll sort it all out. And Abbas and Netanyahu haven't spoken to each other for the past 3 years. But Mr. Alu, president, said that, he said this at a press conference, I also applaud the Palestinian Authority of Mahmoud Abbas for its continued cooperation with Israel. They're getting along unbelievably well. They work together beautifully. Dear listeners, have you heard of a worst case of verbal diarrhea? And even more silly things came out of his mouth. He thanked Mahmoud Bai for his efforts to fight ISIS. He thanked him for fighting ISIS. What a load of sheer nonsense. The Palestinian Authority fighting ISIS? Well, the letter just hasn't a clue about what's going on, and he says he'll solve the problem, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Actually, he may make things even worse if he does what people are predicting, that on his visit to Israel in a month or so, he will announce that America recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and moves the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. That, dear listeners, will unleash an intifada that will escalate the conflict like never before. Let us all pray.
Light at the end of the tunnel.
Maulana, before I get to the light stuff, I have a special request. If anyone knows Mohyuddin Tajbai from Gaborone, Botswana, please ask him to contact me urgently. His name again? Mohyuddin Tajbai. Right, let's get to light at the end of the tunnel. And here's one that I came across some time ago, but it was recycled on WhatsApp yesterday and still gave me a chuckle. At a gay wedding, the priest was confused about how to declare the two men as husband and wife. And after a long silence, the priest said, I hereby pronounce you Man United. Okay, I got a couple of quick one-liners here. You know, Maulana, it's so cold outside that I saw a politician with his hands in his own pockets. Here's a question. What do politicians and diapers have in common, or baby diapers have in common? Answer, both should be changed regularly and both for the same reason. What did the judge ask when he went to the dentist? Do you swear to pull the tooth, the whole tooth, and nothing but the tooth? Why do the French eat snails, Maulana? Because they can't stand fast food. The teacher says to Imran, if you have 13 apples in one hand and 10 oranges in the other, what do you have? And Imran answered, very big hands, ma'am. Give a man a fish and he will eat for a day. Give him a rod and he will sell it and buy his all. Ronnie from Mirbank ended up in ICU. What was the reason? His wife Pushpa asked him, darling, will you still love me when I am old and overweight and ugly? And Ronnie answered, yes, I do.
Okay, Levi, as always, Jazakumullah for your time. We'll talk again next week.
Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salaam
wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.